Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trotto and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Trotto and Dibs. Turn the game on.
We're in uncharted water, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Trotto and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. This is a big show. The San Francisco 49ers are 2-0 for the first time since 2012. They're 2-0 to open the season on the road for the first time since 1989. For those of you who are still waking up, and I'm sure there are a bunch of you, those were both Super Bowl seasons. We begin right here.
First down, they take it one way, roll the other. Garoppolo touchdown. Looking down the field and wide open, and that will be a touchdown for Marquise Goodwin. What a start for the 49ers. A 38-yard touchdown, and there was not a Bengal defender within 15 yards of Marquise Goodwin.
41-17 was your final from the Queen City of Cincinnati as the Niners absolutely thrash Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals. That game was about tone. Setting the tone early. Can you remember, Dibs, the last time the Niners came out in a football game? They set the tempo. They forced the other team to play to their level, and they hammered the opposition with just such ruthlessness.
Right.
How long has it been?
It's been a long time, and I'd have to go back to even Harbaugh, or perhaps before Harbaugh, because the way they did it, they would take your will with the ground game and the defense and just suffocate you. This team was hitting you offensively and defensively, the defensive front getting contributions from everyone, the ground game, would they rush for 1,000 yards yesterday?
I think it was 1,500.
I lost track when they got over 800 low.
And
you saw, honestly, was 259.
It was an absolute motorboating. We talk about what a motorboating looks like, and that was offensive, defensive, special teams, even though the kicker on my fantasy team, Robbie Gold, missed a couple. Wischnowski pinning him inside the two.
What a punt.
I mean, a clinic.
When you play like this, the punter, unfortunately, doesn't get on the field very much. Yeah, but that coffin corner, was it not beautiful?
It was, Joe. It was nice.
It was a coffin corner to boot, which is the best kind when you kick it so high that your guy's able to get down there and wait underneath it.
And he actually made
the fair catch.
Yeah,
perfection.
Catch it at the two-yard line. Yeah. That was an unbelievable punt. Left plenty of hang time. You had not one but two running backs finishing the top 10 rushing in the NFL. When's the last time that happened? That's pretty awesome when you have not one but two running backs and the third was threatening to be in the top.
The third guy scored two touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's how this worked. The leader ran for 121. The second guy ran for 83 yards on a 6.4 yards per carry average. And then the third guy got in the end zone twice.
Jeff Wilson, there you go. And, hey, had a little props. Told you my man would go 400. Gave you guys that prop the other day. Your boy did a freaking awesome job. It was just a great game by the San Francisco 49ers. I know we're going to get into details, but that's a big win, Joe. Way to start off 2-0. And Dibs, I got something for you. Bend the knee, baby. Do you want to bend the knee? Because me and Joe were red hot.
You guys are red,
it's getting
red
scary.
Hot. I'll tell you, yesterday.
I've got the update on that.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Dibs.
Well, about 5 years ago, I decided that in my life, I wasn't going to deal with regret anymore. There's things that you wish you did, but you can't go back and change time. Now, would I like to have a piece of this juicy, oh-so-juicy 14 par-par that you guys are riding? Absolutely. Do I look back with regret? I try not to. Now, if I'm given the opportunity to bend the knee today in the 9 o'clock hour in front of the billions of people who will watch the live stream, I seriously would like to consider that.
I don't think you'll be given that opportunity. With Ben Roethlisberger possibly injured for week three, with Cleveland looking a little sloppy early, I don't think there will be any opportunity to bend the knee.
Mason Rudolph looks pretty darn good. He can spin it for those Pittsburgh
Steelers. I liked him at Okie State.
Yeah, and they got the Okie State connection coming. And, you know, Cleveland could come out and look really like world beaters, but...
Niners are off a bye for that game.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm extended perhaps an opportunity.
All right, for those who are wondering, by the way, Jerry Rice at 840, Jerry Rice at 840, and the Joe Staley news, we're not going to skip past it. We're not going to come out and lead with the negative. We're going positive today. It's a big Monday. Joe Staley, we're going to talk about that at 615. Chris Biederman covers the Niners, does a tremendous job. He's going to give us all the latest on the left tackle position at 6:30. That's coming. What Lowe's referring to in this back and forth with Dibs is something we came up with a little over a month ago, kicking around the idea of the Niners going 4-0. And what we settled on, and Anna was a part of this as well, she's still out sick. We wish her the best. But what's happening is we are betting the Niners on the money line each week for the first four games. And if you win in week one, like we did, we take the initial investment plus the winnings and we roll it over into week two. And if we hit in week two, we roll it over into week three. And if we hit in week three, we roll it over into week four. And if we hit in week four, we're done.
Done.
That's what we've decided. We're done. We thought there was a possibility that this team could start the season 4-0. So that's what we decided. So Lowe and I each threw in $100 and threw in 20. Here's how it worked. 220 as a group invested in week one. In week one, the Niners were plus one. On the money line, that's an even wager, no juice. It's plus 100 even. So we wagered 220. We won exactly 220. So now we have $440 at our disposal. In week two, we come into a situation where it's a pick'em. Yesterday was a pick'em game, which means it's the standard juice minus 110. So we're risking the 440, the initial investment plus the winnings, to win 400. We win that. Our bankroll is now $840. 220 has been turned into 840.
Man,
how you feeling? It feels nice, doesn't it?
It feels good to sit back. I was like, after halftime, I was like, oh my God. I start thinking about it. I said,
it took you till halftime to realize that?
But you know, at first you're just watching the game. You know what I mean? But then when you know it's really, really over, you're like, oh my God.
And then Big Ben's hurt. And you're thinking, man, Pittsburgh's got problems. And then you're thinking, wait a minute, you got to buy to get ready for Cleveland.
And
who knows if the Browns are going to be any good?
And you're home this week and the crowd's going, I mean.
They're going 16-0. We should roll it over all season.
I think
19-0 is on the table.
It's on the table.
I can't wait to hear the hedge proposals in the bye week as we break down them at 3-0. If they're able to beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, we're going
to
lose it all.
I know.
We're going to lose it all. We're going to screw the whole thing up. We're going to lose it all. It's going to be great.
You never know. And I figure if there's the look-ahead line with the Niners in Pittsburgh now is probably Niners minus four.
Off the board because of the Big Ben injury.
Right.
Off the board. They were going into it. I think it was the Steelers were going to be minus 1.5 as of last week. The numbers came back out last night. The Seattle-New Orleans game's not on the board, and the Niner game not on the board because of the injuries to the quarterback.
Right. Big Ben possibly looking at elbow surgery was the news that was developing here late this morning for us, but just about half an hour ago. So I guess pending that, we'll determine what the line sits at. But
coming home.
You guys are looking pretty
coming
good.
Home.
Do you, this is something to get on later down the line, but they spent the week in Youngstown instead of traveling back west. And a lot of people, they talked about on the broadcast, well, you know, you're away from the family, you're out of your routine. And I'm watching them play, I'm thinking, you know what? All they had was a week of football. All they had was a week of bonding and an opportunity. They looked so sharp. Kyle's play calling has never been that good. You notice when they're ahead of the sticks, when they're ahead of schedule, as people say, the entire playbook's open. You never knew if it was going to be a play action, if it was going to be a bootleg, if it was going to be pass run. Everything was a guessing game yesterday. Yeah. I could not imagine trying to be the Bengals keeping up with them. Usually the Niners are playing from behind or it's a tight game. It's third and long. It's second and long. You know what's coming. So he only has so much to choose from in the playbook. Yesterday, it was everything. Every play, the entire playbook, the entirety of the playbook was available. He looked fantastic calling that game. It looked too easy.
It really did. And everyone it makes the defense have to stay home and honor their position. When the run game gets going, the play action gets going, and you saw guys, it's just you have to defend too many areas, and it's too many holes. Like you said, once they get ahead of the chains, ahead of the sticks, you watch this offense. And let's face it, Jimmy G held onto the ball, and he looked downfield. He answered your question, Joe. You wanted to see the guy, can he throw the ball downfield? Last week, dink and dunk. Tick, tack, just a little ding. You're like, man, are you going to take some shots? Yesterday, they did that. They took shots, and when they got ahead of the sticks like you alluded to, They were masterful.
And they have a chance to control tempo because they don't have to substitute. And they were in 21 personnel early with the fullback in there, and you're able to flare him out to the tight end spot. And because you don't sub, the defense can't sub. So
yes.
They were able to go quick a couple times, and then the play action hits. And when you're ahead of the sticks, like Joe's saying, and you don't have to sub, all of a sudden third and three, if you have every play available, it might be Debo on the jet sweep, which they ran.
He looked great.
Might be play action, and they didn't even need Kittle other than being a run blocker. Think about that.
All the attention paid to Kittle opens up the opportunities for other players. Look at how they set the tone in yesterday's game. They kick off. The idiot Bengals decide they're going to run it out. They get nowhere near the 20. So right there, you've got a home crowd that's looking to get excited, thinking, you could have gotten a start a quarter of the way down the field, but you chose not to. So now you're already in a dicey situation. Niner defense comes out, immediately gets a sack. Dalton fumbles the exchange with Joe Mixon on the second play. You're in third and so long, you're really just trying to get away from the goal line at that point, so you're giving up on the possession. You punt. The Niners end up at midfield. This beautiful play design with Goodwin slipping in front of the linebackers to where he's so wide open. It's not only a beautiful play call, the long jump in the end zone, the celebration. I can't believe he's capable of doing that.
Did you see that? What was prettier, the touchdown or the long jump?
I'm going to give the touchdown to... By a hair, though.
I know
it's got to go to the play call because you're going against professionals. But that long jump was sick.
And that was a half-speed long jump. That wasn't even a full long jump.
He didn't even have a full
distance
to run. How
he turned the legs and how he fell for it. That was so state of the art.
I watched the replay of that like six times.
I was
like, how is he that athletic?
You could see the sand come up out of the long jump pit. You know?
He leaned and everything. It was a rotation of the legs and to get the distance.
Great.
The form was unbelievable. I was with you guys.
Oh, it's going to be a good day. Jerry Rice joins us at 8:40. Chris Biederman's coming up at 6:30. Something to take note of. Every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to have an opportunity to come hang out with us on Friday. Brian Baldinger is calling the 49er Steeler game, so he's going to do the full 4 hours with us on Friday. As a result, we're going to do breakfast with Baldy. So your chance to win that. You and a guest, 8:15 today and every day this week, Monday through Thursday. Now, it's going to be a day of positivity, and the phone lines are going to be open all day. 888-957-9570. You can also hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. But we do have to address the Joe Staley injury because it is a big, big deal. That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I can't believe this. I mean, going into yesterday's game, I'll be completely honest, I picked the Bengals. But that's because I'm not coming on air picking the Niners 16 games in a row. If you want that, you know where to go, right? You know where the homers are in this town. They're everywhere, and they're in every town. But you want honesty, you come here. You get honest opinions, honest assessments. So I can admit when I'm wrong, and I had that one misread. But not to that extent. I figured if the Niners were going to find a way to win that game, it would not look like this. This was Jimmy Garoppolo looking every bit the franchise quarterback. This was Kyle Shanahan looking every bit the mastermind play caller. This was the defensive line looking like the best defensive line in football. That's not hyperbole based on what we saw yesterday. There is going to be plenty to discuss about this performance from a positive angle, but we do have to hit on what unfortunately might be the number one talking point coming out of the game. Stalwart left tackle Joe Staley going down with a leg injury. Take a listen to the head coach Kyle Shanahan after the game.
All right, Staley went out, his broken fibula, and Ford went out with quad irritation. From what I hear so far, we'll find out more tomorrow, but it should be less than 8 weeks, so I don't think he'll be an IR candidate, but we'll find out more tomorrow. I think it's something he's had before.
6 to 8 weeks is what we're looking at here. 6 to 8 weeks with what they're calling a broken left fibula. Your injury was the tibia in the playoffs that 1 year, or was it the fibula?
It was the weight. What's the weight bearing?
That's the tibia, the weight bearing. This is the non-weight bearing
right,
in Joe's case.
Yeah, so the fibula.
Right.
And that's the same thing that I had. And I'm surprised that it's 8 weeks because...
Hold on. Why are we so willing to accept Dr. Dibs over here?
No,
not saying you're wrong, but we very casually just assumed you had that right.
Yeah, I did get here at 4:30 instead of 4:45, so I was able to do extra homework.
Extra sharp this morning.
Yes. Well, you know, not the usual dullard Dibs as I usually am. So it is the non-weight bearing, and
yeah.
It's six to eight weeks, they say, and that's why they didn't put him on IR, Lo, because they're hoping it's before eight.
And I'm wondering now, is it down? If it's down in the ankle, I can see 6 to 8 weeks. But if it's up high, like where I have my scar here,
Thanks for not wearing pants.
It's four to six weeks. I would think even I was walking in a week. I was running in 2 weeks.
it's a matter of how much pain can he take, because you're not going to damage. And the biggest thing to me is he's not getting surgery. Because if you get surgery on it, Joe and Dibs, now they can put a plate. So now you have a kind of a crack bone, but now if you get a plate over it and they screw into it, now you kind of protect the bone so it won't break in that spot. I was surprised that he didn't get surgery. I had surgery the next morning, zipped up, walking.
Chow?
Dr. Chow. You know, getting after it, treatment, hyperbaric chamber, doing all those things. And I was back, like I said, 4 weeks playing in a game. So I don't know why no surgery. So it must be, if it's lower in the ankle, I could see it 8 weeks. And if it's lower in the ankle, where I had that, was that one too, that ended up taking the whole year. So if it's low in the ankle, if it's cracked down there, I don't see him coming back for the whole year.
Well, maybe it was all that chicken milk you drank growing up.
Yeah, just maybe.
Really fortifying all those bones of yours.
Man, a lot of calcium in that chicken milk I hear.
Yeah, that's why I was able to bounce back quick, guys. It's 4 weeks.
But let's assume 6 to 8. Let's just take the coach. We'll go 6 to 8. It's nice to know that maybe he could heal a little bit faster, because this is going to be very important. What's next? Right? This is the question. What's next? Joe Staley has been around a long time. He's only missed 4 of a possible 128 games since 2011. Okay, that offensive line had a couple question marks coming into the season. He was not one of them. So, 6 to 8 weeks, you're 2-0. It looks like you've got something cooking. Remember, in the entire NFL, no matter what happens tonight, both teams are 0-1. Only 9 teams in the NFL are 2-0. 9 teams, only 5 in the NFC. 5 of 16 are 2-0. You are in a very rare and very advantageous position, especially considering that those were 2 road games.
Right.
14 to go, 8 of which will be at home. So what do you do? Because the big talking point is whether or not you call the Washington Redskins and you inquire about Trent Williams. He's gone to the Pro Bowl 7 straight years, but he is holding out and not playing for Washington. He is not happy with the situation. Naturally, this is the connection that the entire world made within 5 minutes of Joe Staley going down yesterday. Yeah. So, do you invest heavy capital to bring in a guy like Trent Williams? Justin Skull, the rookie 6th-rounder out of Vanderbilt, he's going to get the nod first, but what are you thinking here?
I think you absolutely make an offer and you see what you can do. We always say kick the tires. I don't think you need to kick the tires, because you got a 7-time Pro Bowl left tackle. This is a ready-made situation. It's like the new fad where you buy a car online. You never see the car and you just buy it online because you see it.
People do that?
You believe it. Yeah, there's a new... It's a new service out there where you can just do it all straight internet, and then they deliver the car to your house. You can actually sell your car the same way, but I digest. This is the type of player, you know who he is. You know the quality. It's a question of the offer. You have the money in the cap, I would assume, based on the way you've done business. Do you have the draft capital? Your window to succeed, you're 2-0, like you said. You look like you have a legitimate top 10 defense, and your offense might just be an offensive tackle away from being legit as well.
Financially, he's cheap this year, only a $3.5 million cap hit. That's like nothing. He signed a 5-year, $68 million extension back in 2016. So he's got this year where the cap hit for Trent Williams is $3.5 million. Next year, it's $14.6 million. But let me ask you something.
So you have 2 years left on the deal?
This year and next year, correct. Correct. But if you're going to bring a guy like that in, you're probably going to talk to him in advance about an extension. You're not going to trade for him like the idiot Texans did with Laramie Tunsil and not talk about a contract, right? You're going to talk contract. You're going to talk trade. You bring him in. You sign him.
How old is he again, Joe? The age?
Right now, Trent Williams is 31 years of age, 6'5", 320 pounds out of Oklahoma. He was the number 4 overall pick in 2010. If he was playing this year, it would be his 10th season. He has been, like I said, to 7 straight Pro Bowls.
Yeah, I'd pick up the phone and I'd make the trade happen today.
Well,
trade,
okay, let me ask you this,
and though. I trade my first round pick for next year.
Okay.
I get my first and possibly my 4th, without a doubt.
Now, what happens when Staley comes back? And what happens if Staley wants to play next year? This is what worries me, because you have Mike McGlinchey. He's not going anywhere. And if you have Trent Williams, great. Trent Williams and Mike McGlinchey, excited. But what do you do when Staley comes back? And what if Staley wants to play next season? What happens there?
Oh, it's simple. He's your number 3.
Joe Staley's just on the bench.
Yeah, this is football. This is National Football League. This is he's had an awesome career. He's been your Iron Man. He's tough. He's gritty. If someone goes down, how comfortable are you? you still should give him his contract. You should definitely keep him on the team. Wouldn't cut him. I'd keep the guy and say, hey, Joe, this is the situation. This is the role. You don't want to play anywhere else. He'll still get in on jumbo packages. He'll still get in at certain situations. The guy's had a phenomenal career. Without a doubt, Joe, he comes immediately my backup. But that's just how it is. That's just the way the game works. You love him. You retire his jersey. He's going in as the Ring of Honor 49ers. But, man, it's about winning. And right now, that gives you the best opportunity to win. And I signed a long-term deal with the young man.
Quite a luxury to have a tackle of that caliber as your third tackle. And you look at a situation with Mike McGlinchey yesterday. He struggled at times. He had a false start. He was immediately beaten the next play. A couple series later, he held. So maybe it's a situation where you have those guys in somewhat of a lightweight rotation if need be.
Yeah. Okay, I'm totally with you.
Mike Shanahan was the head coach in Washington when they drafted Trent Williams. Mike Shanahan's first year there, I believe, was 2010. Head coach, executive VP, that was his first pick. And Kyle was obviously on that staff as well. So there's something there.
Yes.
But remember, there is no second-round pick for the Niners this year. So if you trade your first to Washington for Trent Williams, and assuming Washington would be okay with that, you are now out a first and second round pick. Not the end of the world if you're competing and going to the playoffs this year. I don't think there's this. Let me ask you this. Would you trade a first round pick, next year's first round pick, for a trip to the playoffs this year?
I think you would.
Would you do that?
Yes. And it's
would the fans do that? 888-957-9570. Would you trade next year's first round pick for the playoffs this year?
And I don't think it's just a playoff this year, Joe. I think it's for years. If you got two tackles that you locked up, now you got Breed in the running back court locked up, you got Kittle locked up, your whole defensive line's coming back next year, all of them, all players that's making plays for you, you're in a good step. So yes, I do it. Yes.
Chris Biederman covers the 49ers. Was he in Cincinnati? He traveled with them. Beautiful. He was with the Niners. He's got the latest on all this stuff and whether or not the Niners are going to kick the tires on a possible Trent Williams trade. That's coming up next. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here, Stephen Langford, the pride of London, England.
Whoa.
What's coming up on the game?
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Ticket Crushers as the 49ers crushed the Bengals yesterday 41-17. The Raiders fell to the Chiefs 28-10 in the Raiders' last home game until November 3rd. Jimmy Garoppolo completed 17 of his 25 passes for 297 yards, along with three touchdowns and an interception for the 49ers. But running back Matt Breida stole the show, running for 121 yards on 12 carries.
Third down. And looking for a hole in. What a shoot there by Breida, and off to the race down the sideline with a man to beat. And run out of bounds inside the 15. That's what Breida can do for you.
Tom Brenneman of Fox on the call. Now, Hall of Famer and 95.7 The Game NFL insider Jerry Rice will join the program at 8:40, as he does every Monday. And coming up next, 49ers beat writer for the Sacramento Bee, Chris Biederman. And remember, you can take Jolo and Dibs on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Got a ticket, suspended license, DUI, don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Drew Brees is dealing with an injury. Look around, people. Life is good right now if you are a San Francisco 49er fan. With that in mind, we go to the Dial Pad guest line. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. He does a ridiculously talented job of covering the 49ers as a reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Chris Biederman, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris, thank you for your time. We'll get to the Joe Staley conversation in a moment, but take us through the atmosphere in Cincinnati yesterday. It's the home opener. Bengals fans are stoked. They got a new head coach. The Niners smothered them right from the jump. I mean, of all your years watching this team, where does that performance rank?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely way up there, particularly since Kyle Shanahan was hired. And it was interesting walking around Cincinnati over the weekend. There was a lot of 49ers gear in town, and then even more than I expected at the game. And George Kittle, between the third and fourth quarter, was doing a lot to ramp up the crowd. And there was a lot more red than orange, but behind the 49ers bench, and particularly in the second half when it started to thin out, when it became clear that game was going to be a blowout. So, yeah, I mean, going 2-0 on the road after not winning a road game last year and winning two games in the Eastern time zone, which is something they haven't done since Jim Harbaugh's final season in 2014, is pretty impressive. And I know, you know, people don't necessarily have the highest expectations for the Bengals or the Buccaneers, but winning on the road in the NFL is tough. The Niners have proved that the last few years with their inability to do so. So coming away 2-0 with hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers for the home opener on Sunday, it's a pretty big deal for them, and we'll have to see how they adjust without Joe Staley, you mentioned.
Sorry, Chris, what was more impressive to you yesterday, three rushers with 10 or more carries or six defenders with tackles for loss?
I think it was the running game. I mean, anytime you can get 259 yards on the ground and three touchdowns from your quarterback and nearly 300 passing yards, I think Garoppolo averaged almost 12 yards per attempt. I mean, the Niners really just had everything going offensively, and that was particularly encouraging coming off that week one game where Garoppolo was a little bit inaccurate and a little shaky at times. Obviously, he had the pick six, and the running game really didn't get going in Tampa Bay either. So the basis for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do on offense revolves around the running game. And so he wants to set up play action. He wants to be in front of the chains, and Mike McGlinchey said it after the game. He said, when you're in front of the chains and you're running the ball well, it opens up the entire playbook. And we saw that on Sunday. So the 49ers running the ball really well, even without Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman, you know, getting a 100-yard performance from Matt Breida and then 83 more from Raheem Mostert. I think it's all the 49ers could ask for given the situation. So, yeah, the running game was really impressive yesterday.
Besides being a guy that has a nose for the ball, Quan Alexander, that is, what about just his football IQ? What have you seen about him, and how good of a pickup that this seems to be for the Niners?
Well, he's a good linebacker. You know, we know that, and I think the film from what he did in Tampa Bay reflected that. If there was an issue, it was missed tackles. But I think he just brings an energy that this team hasn't had in the locker room these last few years, and everybody talks about just how much of a spark plug this guy is. And it really became apparent in August when the 49ers had those joint practices with the Denver Broncos. It was, you know, 9 in the morning, and Quan Alexander jumping around, and the linebackers are doing their hot boys thing, and then the 49ers go out and dominate the Broncos in early in practice on their home, you know, in their home facility. And it was clear from that point that Quan Alexander is giving this defense a spark, just an emotional and energetic lift that it hasn't had in recent seasons. So I think that's really the biggest thing, and everybody talks about it. They all feed off it. The defensive line feeds off it. Obviously, the secondary is obviously playing well and feeding off it. So, you know, the 49ers have had some good players on defense these last few years, but they haven't had sort of that alpha dog mentality, and Alexander really brings that, and it's infectious. And John Lynch has said that it's bringing more out of that out of Fred Warner, which obviously helps the defense too. So I just think it's the energy level that he brings is really the big difference to this defense this year.
Chris Biederman, 49ers reporter from the Sacramento Bee with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. All right, let's run through it with Joe Staley. How long is he expected to be out? What's the short-term plan? And is there a long-term plan, say, acquiring a left tackle that may be out there by the name of Trent Williams?
Yeah, I mean, the Trent Williams thing, well, first, Joe Staley's going to be out, it sounds like, at least 8 weeks, and we'll know a little bit more when Kyle Shanahan talks to the media today at 4 p.m. Back in the Bay Area, but it sounds like he'll be back in mid-November at some point, and obviously that would be a big deal, getting him back for the stretch run of the season. Mike McGlinchey said it was just a hairline fracture, so, you know, we'll have to see what the 49ers do. As far as Trent Williams goes, I mean, yeah, the 49ers have cap space to do it and the flexibility to do it, but we don't know if Washington is really going to want to help Kyle Shanahan out based on their previous relationship and their dealings. It might take some smoothing over with John Lynch. But just looking at the contract, I mean, he wants a new deal, so you have to wonder about that. And the 49ers aren't in position to pay him what he would command on the open market. And he's going to make $12 and $13 million over these next 2 years. And then you have to factor in the looming contracts for DeForest Buckner and George Kittle, who are both going to get paid at some point over these next 2 years. So with salary cap space rolling over, the 49ers are set up right now without adding any significant contracts to be able to give Buckner and George Kittle the contracts that they're going to command. But that becomes a lot more complicated when you bring in somebody like Trent Williams. So it seems to me, you know, a better idea would be getting an offensive tackle, maybe who's still on a rookie deal, and that might be pretty costly if you want someone who's a starting caliber player. I think the first name that comes to mind is I'm not even going to try to pronounce his first name, but Big V, Mr. Vitae with the Eagles, who I think who's playing guard right now, who's a backup, but he filled in for Jason Peters when they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and played really well. And he's somebody that the Eagles just invested a first-round draft pick in an offensive tackle. So maybe they make him available in a trade. They're always willing to wheel and deal with their general manager. So it could be something that he makes more sense and might not cost the 49ers as much in terms of salary, but they could get similar production from Big B as they would Trent Williams.
Chris, the other injury concern, obviously Dee Ford, who left with a quad injury. What can you tell us about his status going forward?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I asked him how he was feeling after the game, and he didn't say much. He said he was feeling good and he'll be good to go. But, you know, when the 49ers sat Dee Ford out in training camp, it was initially termed as a quad injury and ended up coming out that it was knee tendonitis. So I tend to think that it's the same injury he dealt with last month, which could be a little bit problematic, and it's something that he's dealt with throughout his career. So they're definitely going to have to keep an eye on it. If there's good news from the defensive end standpoint, Ronald Blair had a really nice game against the Bengals, and obviously I know their tackle situation is pretty porous right now, but Blair had a couple tackles for loss in the running game and also a sack in that game. So there might not be a huge drop-off right now. Obviously, you want Dee Ford in there because he's your highest-paid defensive player. But with Nick Bosa healthy and Ronald Blair and Eric Armstead playing well right now, sitting Dee Ford out maybe a couple weeks after this bye, or with the bye upcoming, I should say, it might not be the worst idea for the 49ers, just given the depth they have on the defensive line. But, again, we'll find out more about that today when Kyle Shanahan talks this afternoon.
Check him out at the Sacramento Bee, where he's doing a tremendous job. Chris Biederman with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris, we know you're busy with the traveling, but have fun in Chicago if you're there for 15 minutes. Tell Mitchell Trubisky yeah. We said hi. And well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good morning.
All right, look, the phone lines are juiced. Mac Daddy, the rest of you guys, we're coming to you next. The number's 888-957-9570. Phone lines are open all day to talk about yesterday's win, but a lot of people want to weigh in on the Joe Staley situation. Would you give up a first-round pick for Trent Williams, or is there another plan or thought out there? 888-957-9570. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Gone need to be the days where the Niners are trying to catch up to their opponent, where they seem to be just one step behind. They're there, they're in it, but they just can't put themselves over the top. Done. It's time to start setting tempo. It's time for Niner football to determine how these games are going to play out. And that is what you saw yesterday in Cincinnati. Bengals make the mistake of trying to bring out the opening kick. They get stuffed at like the 10. It's a sack, followed by a mishandled exchange, followed by we just need to get away from the goal line so we can punt this thing away, followed by a dime of a pass from Jimmy Garoppolo to Marquise Goodwin, 7-0 Niners. Sure, the Bengals made it 7-7, but between the Niner defensive line, Quan Alexander, who, how many souls do you think he took yesterday? How many Bengals lost their soul to Quan Alexander yesterday afternoon?
He's mean, ain't he? The boy is me.
I love him. I'm married, but I'm thinking about filing papers. I love you, Nick, but I mean this guy.
He'll definitely
he can provide for me.
He'd definitely be the dominant in that one because he's a domination player. The guy is absolutely a wrecking machine. He's a ball hawk. He's around the ball. He will hit you. And when he hits you, he has bad intentions. When he gets there, he wants to kiss you. He wants to remove you from the ball. He wants to take your heart. He wants to take your soul. And guys are looking for the guy now. You're looking for him.
I mean, you have been talking about him since before the season started. I think a lot of fans went into the Quan Alexander analysis very very timid because of the injury. You don't know what to expect. There's always an injury angle to like everything with the Niners. This guy comes out week one. He gets ejected, but he's flying around, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, if we have him for 60 minutes, what's it going to look like? Yesterday is what it's going to look like. Yeah. You think Cincinnati's going to be studying tape on Quan Alexander this week? We probably should have accounted for this guy. And there's something about a guy on defense flying around wearing number 56. Like, there's something about a linebacker wearing 56 like Lawrence Taylor. I'm not saying he's LT.
Right.
But when you fly around in number 56, it just looks better.
I was watching the game with Hurricane Gale, my legendary sister, and I said, Kaner, keep your eyes on 56. Because we're trying to watch football in different ways. I was telling Lowe during the break, offensively, I'm really trying to catch formations.
Yes.
21, 12, what are they in? End of the game, it was all 22, by the way. They were just road grating them into Bolivia. But early in the game, I told Gale, watch 56, and then you see that the drive where he ends up with the interception on Eifert where he takes him man-to-man. I know he had safety help, but locked him down. Earlier in that drive, he absolutely crushes Mixon on a run. He tips a pass at the line of scrimmage, and you start to see the havoc that he wreaks from the linebacker position. He's a fun watch when you just keep your eyes on 56.
The first game that he played, I think, was Denver. And that's when I was like, okay, I want to watch, okay, because I, you know, you guys coming over, you're saying, okay, the knee injury, what's going to happen? Can he stay healthy? And then I said, okay, now I'm going to watch him. And the first preseason game, Denver, he finally got on the field and he made plays, but it wasn't like he was making a bunch of tackles. It was the fits. It was where he was at. It was where him creating a new line of scrimmage. It's him reading the tackle and the guard and making sure, forcing it to where his help is. He takes the right angle. You saw yesterday, tried that bubble screen, and he sees it. He reads it. He goes around the tackle and then ended up getting called for holding because of the fact what he was able to do, get skinny and bend, and the tackle had to hold him. He creates those opportunities, those mismatches. You love what he does, the way that he hits, and when he hits you, he usually puts you down. It was a third and four, or something, third and five, or something like that, and they caught the ball right at the sticks. He hit the guy, I don't know who it was, and Quan tackled him right there. It wasn't like him fighting to get that extra yard. It was hit, you're going down, and that's the end of the story.
He's scary. I'm just going to put that out there.
I like that.
It's a scary individual on a defense that finally, when they take the field, you're thinking to yourself, this isn't going to be an 80-yard, six-minute drive for the other team.
No.
Like, these guys can wreck. Ronald Blair yesterday. How many plays did Ronald Blair make yesterday? Ronald Blair is not a starter, and he was absolutely making his impact felt. The manner in which this defensive line can just shuffle talent on and off the field so that guys are rested. Dee Ford got hurt. Missed the entire second half, and no one noticed it.
Right.
Because they were too busy wrecking from every other angle yesterday. Andy Dalton was under heat all. You went into Cincinnati for their home opener. They've got a new head coach. To them, that was a winnable game.
Yeah.
You had the fans booing their team off the field. When was the last time the Niners did that? When was the last time the Niners walked into someone's house and forced the fan base to boo their team off the field? They didn't win any road games last year. It didn't happen last year. No one was booing Rodgers and the Packers off the field.
No.
On what was that? That Monday night game,
right?
No.
When you go 0-8 on the road,
0-8.
I mean, we're in uncharted water here.
And you know, what makes this defense fun, and what makes it scary, and what gives you more hope than you guys should even be more excited about this defense? When I tell you that, you guys say, "Okay, what else can we look for?" You don't have to compromise the integrity of the secondary. You're getting home with four.
Right.
You don't have to bring five. You don't got to bring a backer. You don't got to bring a linebacker. So now you can drop Quan. Well, why do you think Quan's running down the field? Now you can have him chase. You can have a guy playing over the top. You can bracket coverage. These guys all can run. You can flood. You can put double bracket guys. This defense, because you can get home with four, now just don't get beat deep because of the fact safeties can drop. Guys can roll coverage. This just gives them so many options when you can get four to beat the five offensive linemen. That's huge.
And four can get home because four are fresh, because you mentioned Blair in the game. He had three tackle for loss and a sack. The opening drive for Cincinnati, the second half, Niners score to go up 21. It's now or never for the Bengals. Blair with a sack, Taylor a batted ball, Buckner with a sack, bring on the punter. And that was the defense in a nutshell, because like you said, Dee Ford was out. Nicky Bosa had a nice game, but he wasn't absolutely wreaking havoc in a solo fashion.
He was solid. That's one of those, don't get caught up in the box score with Bosa. He was pushing the pocket.
He
was getting a nice pass rush, but I still see what you're saying.
Yeah, Solomon Thomas had a sack.
He didn't get a sack, and they'll go, oh, well, what happened? He was pushing the pocket in a big way, but that's not to correct your point.
Yeah.
Just for those out there who might be like, where was Bosa? Bosa had a nice game.
Yeah, and the point is what Lowe's making, you can get home with four because you got Blair coming in. Julian Taylor's able to come in. Solomon Thomas got a sack, although that was a coverage sack by and large, but still he stayed with the play. He eventually got home. You lose Dee Ford, but it didn't seem to matter because you have so much depth.
This is going to be a guy that I've seen enough that I know now that he's probably just keeping, but after his contract, he will not be on this team. And you just see that. But
that's Solomon Thomas.
Yeah. I watched him really hard. I said, I want to watch. I'm going to see what he does. Boom. He'll come with that nice bull and he'll push you two steps. And they're able to anchor and hold him. That's the end of it. He's at the in line. He's trying. He's moving around. Effort's there. I mean, the effort, the determination, the heart, all that's there.
But he doesn't have it. But he'll be a solid
fair assessment.
I watched him enough to understand you're not getting him. He's not going to be a guy that's going to get a big contract tonight.
Right.
He's going to stay here. He's going to be a good rotational player. But unfortunately, he's just not big enough, strong enough. Don't have it.
Best quote after the game, of course, comes from Richard Sherman. This quote right here is exactly why you brought him in. You brought him in because you needed help at corner. But when you sign Richard Sherman, you're not just signing a guy who can play corner. You're bringing in experience. You're bringing in swagger, moxie, leadership. You're bringing in intelligence. You're bringing in so much more than just a guy who puts on a jersey and takes the field. After the game, Richard Sherman, quote, "I know everybody's out there probably going crazy at the bar and having a good time. Everybody, just stay humble. This is a franchise that's won 5 championships. We're trying to get back to that. We're working hard, and it's a work in progress." Richard Sherman. That is a very, very great assessment. Leave it up to the fans to have excitement, but at the same time, just remember, piece by piece, doesn't that feel like the Steph Curry tweet? What was the infamous Steph Curry tweet? Promising that they were going to get this thing right.
They were going to get this thing right, exactly.
I think he delivered on that. Jury's still out.
Yeah.
Would like to see another title this year and then another one next year.
Recency bias tells me that, Steph's leaving us wanting a little bit, Coach. 3 finals in 5 years. But Richard Sherman, is he the only player on the team with a Super Bowl ring? I was just quickly racking my brain to think if there was another individual. So for it to come from him makes perfect sense. And hopefully all these other players, and I know they are paying heed to that, but to have a player with, obviously, Super Bowl championship and multiple appearances on his resume.
Does Garoppolo have one? And again, would that even really necessarily count? Like, was Garoppolo with the Patriots when they won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think he was.
I think he was there for if it wasn't the Seattle one.
Well, at least he was there when they were on the team, when they went to the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, he's been in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course.
He hasn't played one, but he's been to a Super Bowl.
But that's a good counterpoint to that. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, but what you're talking about, though, is who's been to a Super Bowl that's actually lead the charge,
absolutely,
right? Sherman was at the forefront of Seattle winning that Super Bowl. That's what you mean. That's a great
point.
Right,
but I was just thinking, has anyone else been there or won one? And Jimmy G might be that one. So I was going to ask you, Joe, which unit you thought was better yesterday, the offense or the defense, because both were so spectacular. And that's kind of what I was asking Chris Biederman, because the running game was so good, but the defense was so dominant, it's hard to pick which one was better.
All right, so let me get us legal first. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is outstanding to have you with us in the wake of a 41-17 annihilation of the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati yesterday. The Niners are now one of 9 teams in the NFL. Of 32 teams, one of just 9 that is undefeated at 2-0. One of just 5 out of 16 teams in the NFC that is 2-0. We find ourselves in uncharted water this morning. Jerry Rice will join us at 8:40. Mike Lombardi at 9:05. Ian Williams at 9:30. Those are your guests. And a reminder, 4 days this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at 8:15 each day, you are going to have a chance to win what we're calling Breakfast with Baldy. Brian Baldinger is going to be in town next week calling the Niners-Steelers game. He's going to come in studio and join us for the entire 4-hour show on Friday. 4 lucky people and a guest this week will win. Monday at 8:15, Tuesday at 8:15, Wednesday at 8:15, Thursday at 8:15. A chance to come in here from 8 to 10 in the morning, watch the show, meet Baldy, rub Lowe's grilled cheese forehead. He's already approved that, so it's okay. You can go ahead and do that. Touch the grilled cheese all you want. And have some breakfast with us. Breakfast with Baldy starts today at 8:15. Offense, to answer your question. Offense. Because it's only been one game, but I kind of have a higher expectation for the defense. The problem has been whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is a franchise quarterback. The problem has been whether or not Kyle is as good of a play caller as his reputation. He's had this great reputation, but we haven't necessarily seen it yet. And this offense last week, only 17 total points. Turned the ball over, didn't look great. Got the win, but didn't look great. Yesterday, the offense looked unstoppable. Remember, back-to-back road games, non-conference opponent. Cincinnati had just sacked Russell Wilson 4 times on his home turf. Cincinnati had given up, what was that game, 21-20 last week? They gave up 21 points to the Seahawks in Seattle to open the season. They were 10-point dogs in that game. You went in there, the offense was unstoppable. Garoppolo had his best game since becoming a Niner. Don't at me. I don't care if one of the first five games when he joined the team after the season was already lost was better statistically. That was his best game. He needed that game. We talked about this last week. Garoppolo could shut up the entire Mullins conversation if he had one big game. He had it. We're not going to talk about Nick Mullins this week. I remember you had a great tweet yesterday. Maybe we will see Mullins.
Yeah.
Mop-up duty.
Yeah, we didn't even get to see him in mop-up duty, which was surprising to me.
Yeah,
but
that was a little odd. It was, you know, let's not risk injury here, Kyle. Yeah. Called a great game.
At the same time, if you look at the last couple of drives, it was just Mostert, Wilson, Wilson, Mostert over and over again. You didn't even have Breed in there. Breed might as well had a baseball cap on, and then defensively low, you saw nothing but the twos halfway through that fourth quarter. And that's got to be one of those games, as a fullback especially, where you're just dominating them on the ground and everyone's getting involved in the play-action game. Those have got to be the fun games for you as an offense.
No question. And I thought yesterday, you look at the score, 41-17, seven of those points came against the backups on defense. You look at this defense, what they were able to do. I think this defense is one of the better defenses in the league. I think that you look at their performance overall, how many times they were hitting the quarterback, the pass coverage against the run, everything they did. I thought it's hard to say, you know, I understand both offense and defense. I think both of them played great. It's hard to say the offense. It'd be hard to say it's defense, because that whole defensive lineman getting home with four, not having to blitz, guys covering on the back end, you know, just like offense threw interception. They gave up a big play. Defense gave a big play. Jimmy G threw interception. But I just think collectively, man, that defense is special. It'd be hard-pressed to say who played the best, because they both were friggin' unbelievable.
Yesterday, the Niners racked up 42 rushing attempts for 259 yards on the ground. Let me say that again. That's 42 carries for 259 yards on the road in the NFL. This isn't the Big 12. This isn't a high school football game. The Niners averaged 6.2 yards per carry. What you saw yesterday was what Kyle Shanahan's offense can look like when you establish the running game. The entire offense is predicated on the running game. Establish an effective running game, and it will set up the play-action pass. How many times did Garoppolo go in, come away with the ball on the fake, and when he set up, there was no one near him because the entire defense, or at least the front seven, collapsed on the rush? And then while they collapsed on the running back who didn't have the ball, Garoppolo stands statuesque in the pocket or just outside the tackle as he's rolling, and someone is running free down the field because the safeties and corners have bit. Like, that is the Shanahan offense to perfection. Run the ball, set up the play action, take your shots down the field. Thoroughly impressive. I mean, thoroughly impressive, to the point where, and we're not going to do a lot of this today, but with Big Ben suffering this elbow injury, Steelers coming in next week, I got a feeling Levi's might be loud on Sunday dips.
Yeah, and it's not going to feel as warm in the sunny side, because you're sitting at 2-0 with a Steeler team that probably won't have Big Ben. We're waiting word on whether or not he'll undergo elbow surgery, which could end his season and maybe even his entire career, based on what we saw yesterday when he was wincing, unable to continue. But all of a sudden, that Levi's crowd, Joe, it's going to be sold out. And even if it is a hot day, shout out today with the first rain of the season, but if it's as warm as it has been, I don't think fans are going to mind as much, because you're looking at a 2-0 outfit.
I'm not even going to talk about
the
Steelers. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
You started it.
We got plenty of time this week to get into the idea of being one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.